You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This penultimate show of 2022. It's James Edwards and Keith Alexander here in TPC now in our 17th year. The calendar will flip in a couple of weeks, and that will begin our 18th year on the air. And as you've already, I'm sure, picked up, this is a little bit different show tonight. It's a little lighter. Well, I would say by the time it's all said and done, it will be a little lighter in fare, although that first hour we chase that rabbit, sure enough, all the way back to World War II. But in any
World event, War One, actually.
For a minute, we sure did. And, of course, we had a great, great guest on a very important and often neglected topic that was scheduled for tonight. We're going to reschedule him immediately. But I have good news for you, is that we're going to have another guest that's going to make a debut in our third hour. I just got off the phone with him. And this is going to be a guy that I think is going to be of great interest to you. And he'll be coming up at the third hour. So we're just
this is a boots-on-the-ground guy back in the days of the original Civil Rights Movement.
Well, that's right. Except, of course, he was fighting for the good guys.
Our side, yeah, yeah.
But
kind of like Drew Lackey or something.
Well, and he's still active, okay? So this is an amazing thing, and an amazing family, all right? So we'll tell you about it in the third hour. We'll introduce him to you. But originally, before we had the last-minute rescheduling of our guest this evening, I had planned in advance to spend a half hour in the third hour sort of reading this mountain of mail and correspondence that's come in from our listener. And that's not vainglorious. If it was just, you know, oh, you're so great, you know, that would be a waste of time. But there's a lot of things that they say that you, Mr. and Mrs. TPC listeners, say in these that I think deserves a response.
Well, the thing is, some of the comments and insights are so good, we feel that they're better than what we could provide right now. We want to share these with our audience.
And we got to get to it, because I don't even know. I'm looking at this mail now that I've thumbed through it. I don't even know if an hour is going to be enough. We're not going to be able to get to it all, but we'll try to get to as much. We're not going to play favorites. We're just going to put the hand in the grab bag and see what comes out. But there are some questions that are asked by some of our listeners, and we'll give them an on-air treatment. This is, again, we're in the middle of the Christmas season, and so the work will begin anew in 2022. We'll get back to the guest-driven and hard issue-oriented, driven commentary
analysis
that you're listening to, an analysis. But let's just get to it. We'll get to this one from Essington, Pennsylvania. Listener writes, James and Keith, thank you for your Christmas card, and thank you for what you do. Keep up the great work. He's a Yankee by birth and a rebel by choice. He is, and that's what he writes. And but how about this one? This is really amazing. This is a listener who writes, hey, folks, no need for the gift incentive in return for this contribution. Things are becoming worse with the world, but I am thankful for what you do. And then he writes, I am perplexed at 90 years of age. And this is so that puts him firmly within our
wheelhouse, right?
Demographic. But I gave you his portrait. He actually sent a picture. Keith, do you have, explain.
He looks like a genuine guy that, you know, like the Japanese guys that were hidden out on the island, you know, for 50 years and didn't surrender. This looks like the Confederate equivalent of it. He's wearing a butternut uniform. He's got a beard. He's got a Confederate cavalryman's hat on. I tell you what, this guy looks like he is the
That's why I get so offended when they call us neo-Confederates, you know. Damn, well, you,
we're
the
all
real
Confederate. Yeah, take the
real
deal
thing.
Away. Yeah, this I'm guy looks thing. Like a real Confederate.
Here comes one from...
Been hiding out in the mountains all those years.
Placentia, California, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. This listener writes, Dear sirs, here you'll find an enclosed money order. Please send the DVD of the Hutton Gibson interview. And yes, yes, those will be mailed out. The Postal Service, as they did last year, has all but stopped
Shut
working.
Down.
They have. I am telling you... They have all but stopped working. You can get letters out because they're sorted a little bit differently, but parcels and packages, you can pay
Forget
for
about it.
You can pay for overnight delivery if you want to.
Go to FedEx if you want that.
Two.
Go to FedEx or UPS if you want to deliver a parcel. UPS, not so much.
You can expect to get your gift incentives, ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of the year. We're just not going to.
UPS, yes. USPS, no.
Here is, and this goes to, so we're always talking about our listening audience being family members. So we've already read correspondence from Georgia, from Pennsylvania, from California. Here's one right here from Tennessee, in Middle Tennessee. Never met these people, but they feel like family, as so many of you do. Dear James, your family photo was such a blessing. Beautiful family. Y'all are on the fridge with the other dear ones, and that comes from... couple of listeners that we haven't had the opportunity to meet. I've talked to them once on the phone, and I am telling you, folks, there is a familial bond that extends from this broadcast studio to our listening audience, wherever you may be, and you are all around the world, and we're so thankful for you. You're part of our family, and we're honored to be part of yours. Now, here's one, Keith, from a listener in Lawrenceville, Georgia, that requires an answer from you. Now, this is an incredible question, and I know you can give it a good treat. This is why I really wanted to extend the mailbag segment for Christmas a little bit longer tonight. Attention, James and Keith, I've always wanted to ask about a place you may know. Is there a suburb of Memphis named Whitehaven? If I remember right, my family lived there when I was 5 years old. That would be in 1959. I have fond memories of our brick porch house with a carport. Those were the days. Thank you for all you do. What can you tell this listener about Whitehaven?
Okay, let me tell you the full story on Whitehaven.
Keep close to the mic.
My family moved to Whitehaven in 1963. At the time, it was the white suburb of choice, white flight suburb of choice in Memphis. We had moved from southeast Memphis at that time. Well, Whitehaven, I can show you, if you come here to visit sometime, a annual from Whitehaven High School in 1965. I mean, the level of sophistication, intelligence emanating from those pages, the comments made by the students written in cursive, long missives, boys protesting their undying love for the girls, hoping that they'd find someone to rise to the bait. Everything was fine in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood back then. Whitehaven has now become Blackhaven. It became that because Whitehaven was not a separately incorporated municipality like other Memphis suburbs like Arlington, Collierville, Germantown, Millington, Lakeland were, Bartlett. And see, because of that, they were caught into the busing order that came down in 1973, and busing was the death knell, the final nail that was originally driven in the Brown versus Board of Education decision, which basically wrecked Memphis City Schools.
So, dear listener in Lawrenceville, Georgia, if you still lived in Whitehaven, it wouldn't be as you remembered it when you were 5 years old in 1959,
yeah,
to say the least.
It would look like somebody sprayed Roundup on, for example, the Whitehaven Plaza Shopping Center looks like somebody sprayed Roundup on it.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, hear what I hear, ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Shepherd boy to the mighty King, do you know what I know? In your palace, warm, mighty King, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold.
You never want to say, and I'm certainly not saying that I'm glad it worked out this way, because the reason it worked out this way was because an unfortunate circumstance afflicted a guest that we had booked for tonight. But I think in hindsight, 30 minutes of mailbag for Christmas wouldn't have been enough. So the fact that we could extend it under the circumstances to a full hour, I think is essential. We don't read the correspondence as much, but I think at this time of year, very important to know that you are part of a community that has been fostered here, and we've been able to do it together. Together, you and us, co-equals in that. And
no, you're much more than our contributors. You are people that are part of the living organism called the political cesspool. Let me go back to Whitehaven very briefly.
Very briefly.
Whitehaven is where Graceland, Elvis Presley's home, is located. Elvis, it was particularly fortunate for Whitehaven that Elvis died before the neighborhood had totally turned, because today, if Elvis were alive, he would not be living in Graceland. He would have moved somewhere else.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you
and
go
if
down
you go
there.
If you go to Graceland, mm-hmm. Let me just tell you, don't stop and eat. Go straight to Graceland and come right back. Don't stop to eat. Don't stop at the service station. They've had people shot and killed in those service stations. Just come in and come out. A lot of people say, why in the world would Elvis have lived in a place like this? Well, it wasn't like that when Elvis moved into Graceland in the early 60s or the late 50s. I think it's early 60s, basically. He had been on Audubon Drive before then. But Whitehaven was really a good place to live. It was basically between the Nonconna Creek and the Mississippi state line. Graceland itself is the only viable economic enterprise going on in, you know, a private enterprise, except for FedEx, which is at the Memphis Airport, and the Memphis Airport is basically in Oak Haven, not in Whitehaven.
Well, here's another thing, too, about the Graceland area is that people from all over the world, I mean, Elvis fans all over the world come in to see this mecca of theirs, Graceland, and I've gone on the tour. It's enjoyable enough, but flanked around Graceland on all sides are the liquor stores, the boarded up check cashing,
the chicken wing
payday
places,
loans, and everything you would expect. Well, hey, I don't know about Whitehaven, but how about Whiteville, Tennessee, which is not too far from here? And we got a letter, this letter in. Dear James, Keith, and all my brothers and sisters associated with TPC, it's been another eventful year. We live in unprecedented times, to say the least. But through it all, you guys have been steadfast. You've reported the news accurately, fairly, and representative of the views of our people, something mainstream media and the council culture are determined to squelch. Continue doing as you do with honor and valor, and please accept my love offering for all you do. And that's from Stuart in Whiteville, Tennessee. And we're thankful for you, Stuart, as we are for this.
Whiteville still lives up to its name.
Dear TPC family, Merry Christmas. Our people will make it. Stay white positive. Well, we are, and we're always positive. We are happy warriors.
Yeah, we'll call a spade a dirty shovel, as Granddad
we
used
to
say.
We do the work with a smile on our face and a pep in our step.
We're not afraid to boost what's good and to vilify what is bad.
Here's one from Irvine, California. We were just in California for a previous piece of correspondence. Dear James, getting older, I had considered going back to the Catholic Church, but didn't after hearing Hutton Gibson on your show, and it was a good thing. It prevented more disappointment. Even though young, after Vatican II, our Catholic Church didn't seem holy anymore. So I look forward to the Hutton Gibson interview that you're offering and Mel Gibson's Passion sequel, which is due out in theaters soon. Thank you and your TPC team for all your hard work. That comes from Mark in Irvine,
Well, let me
California.
Say this quick about that. Every major denominational headquarters, the long march through the institutions of the cultural Marxists had gone right through the middle of denominational headquarters of virtually every Christian denomination. And because of that, you may find a good individual church occasionally, but as far as the denominations, don't give your money to the denominations. Don't do everything you can to segregate yourself and insulate yourself from the poison that they basically have reduced Christianity to just being liberalism. And liberalism is the enemy of Christianity. Liberalism is the modern face of evil, as we commonly say on this broadcast. And nothing points that out quite so well as a check of the web pages of denominational headquarters for, let's say, the Southern Baptists, the Roman Catholics, the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church, Methodist Church, you name it. Okay, James.
Here's just a quick Merry Christmas from Leo. And what makes Leo's, and he's up in Illinois, what makes his piece of correspondence so important? It's just a simple Merry Christmas message. This is a guy that's attended every conference, I believe, that we've ever done. He donates every single quarter, as so many of you do. You know our quarterly fundraising drives, and we're in our Christmas fundraising drive right now. They're so essential. They are our life's blood. We have people like Leo out there and many like him who never miss a quarter. Now, here's one that really touched on the heart of what TPC is all about. This is from a listener in Olive Branch, Mississippi, just right over the border. I'm proud to support the only white Christian Southern voice out there. We need more like you. Merry Christmas. And he sent in a very generous contribution.
Well, thank you so much. And we don't run from that description of ourselves. In fact, we embrace it. We're glad to be Southern. We're glad to be Christian. And we're glad to be pro-white.
Here's one from Phoenix, Arizona. James, I'm so embarrassed that I've never donated. We're talking about people who donate every quarter for years and years and years. James, I'm so embarrassed that I've never donated to your show before. I've given to so many others, but never yours. This year, I told myself that I would support your Christmas fundraising drive no matter what the incentive. But man, what an incentive. I never expected it to be this good. I look forward to hearing the raw interview with Mel Gibson's father. And this is comes from a listener in Phoenix, and this is the actual listener in Phoenix. We won't read his name, Keith, but he is the one who heard our interview with Drew Lackey, and then he flew to Alabama to find a copy of Drew Lackey's now out of print book, Another View of the Civil Rights Movement. Of course, Drew Lackey was pictured fingerprinting Rosa Parks and booking Rosa Parks, and he was the chief of police of Montgomery, Alabama during that tumultuous time, and he wrote a book called Another View of the Civil Rights Movement. This listener went and scanned every page of the book so it could be made available and live in posterity for people who may want it.
Well, see, as the SPLC and the ADL is finding out, the generation that was involved in the original Civil Rights Movement is passing from the scene. They're shuffling off their mortal coil. That's a problem for the ADL and the SPLC. It's also a problem for us, and we're going to do our bit to remedy that later in this show tonight, because we're getting you a boots-on-the-ground veteran from those days to tell us what the Civil Rights Movement was really like.
Here's one we can read their full name without fear of doxing. This is Joe McCutcheon, the great Joe McCutcheon. My, how time flies.
One of your first guests on this show.
Joe is just a great guy. If you don't know him, go back and listen to the archives. One of the favorite and best people we've ever associated with on this program. He was one of the original Minutemen founders. You remember the Minutemen Project? Well, he's done a lot more than that. How time flies by. So very proud of you and for all your accomplishments. Can't wait to see the interview. And Joe and his wife, Barbara, have remained friends for now nearly two decades. And they're just dear, good people. And
salt of the earth.
They're
folks.
Getting older, as we all are, but I am so thankful.
They're still stalwarts, and they're still keeping the faith, and they're part of the world.
There's just no doubt about it. Here's one, little Santa Claus coming down the chimney. That's from Rick in South Brooklyn, who is getting a whole lot of mention on their show in recent weeks,
Rick,
and for good
Rick
reason.
Is one of our new celebrities.
Rick. Yeah, that's right. Here's from Paul at Dixie Republic. Merry Christmas, brother. Thanks for all you do. No, thanks for all you do. And remember, DixieRepublic.com, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, if you're shopping for a Christmas gift, DixieRepublic.com, make
best
it a Confederate.
Go.
Make it a Confederate gift at DixieRepublic.com. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden will be giving an Omicron variant-focused speech on Tuesday. That's according to the White House. The announcement comes as on Friday, 193,305 new cases of COVID-19 were reported and 2,171 deaths. That's according to Johns Hopkins University. First Call Medical Center Director Dr. Rob Elfenbein joins Fox News and describes the severity of Omicron cases.
The data out of South Africa and out of Israel has been suggesting for some time that the Omicron variant, while it may be more infectious, is less virulent in terms of its ability to cause serious illness.
This as the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit in Cincinnati has reinstated the Biden administration's vaccine mandate for large companies. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaroo. John and Chelsea Jubilee with Energized Health are regular guests on my show sharing their breakthrough science of inner cellular hydration. They help people burn fat fast, supercharge their energy, boost their immune system, reverse ailments and disease with no painful exercises and no restrictive fat diets. I'm Exhibit A. I've been on the program for over a year now. During the first 88 days, I lost 25 pounds of inner body fat and I gained 10 pounds of muscle. And I've never gained the fat or weight back. I look and feel great. Everywhere I go, people tell me I look 10 years younger. Don't just take my word for it. Go to EnergizedHealth.com and check out hundreds of amazing testimonials. And right now, John and Chelsea are giving my fans a special Christmas gift. Energized Health will pay for your spouse's transformation free. Sign up by Christmas and you'll get the WAR 40% off decisive action discount for you and your spouse is free. Go now to EnergizedHealth.com or call 888-444-8895, 888-444-8895, or EnergizedHealth.com.
Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott confirms his state is picking up the slack regarding the crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border.
Governor Abbott on Friday retweeted Fox News reporter Bill Malusian, who announced that the first wall panels have gone up in Starr County, Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley, adding that the wall is the result of state land, state money. In the tweet, Abbott added that Texas has officially started building its own border wall since President Joe Biden allows open border policies and refuses to enforce laws passed by Congress, and that Texas is stepping up to do the federal government job. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm Val Dior.
It's a violent start to the weekend in Baltimore. Police saying two people are dead and more than a dozen injured in a series of shootings that began Friday afternoon. Five people were shot in one incident that left a 36-year-old man dead and four other victims being treated for non-life-threatening injuries. USA Radio News.
And the king to the people everywhere. Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. A child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light.
Probably my favorite rendition of my favorite Christmas carol right there. And welcome back. If you're tuning in for the first time tonight, you're probably wondering, what in the world kind of show is this? All they do is read their mail the entire broadcast. Well, no, we don't normally do this. In fact, it's only once in a blue moon that we'll even spend a segment reading the mail, although we value and cherish and read it all and take it all to heart. And to spend an hour. But it is Christmas.
Well, we want to share it with you. We normally just do this in-house. But quite frankly, the quality of the mail and the quality of our audience is such that we really feel that it would be good for the show generally if we shared it.
Well, and two, I think at Christmas time, you need to know the others that are out there and what kind of caliber of people that are your fellow listeners, like this gentleman in Perry, Florida. Dear James and Keith, in these very dark times for our people, TPC is one of the very few sources for truth and inspiration that we have left. And that's from a listener in Perry, Florida, who never forgets us, and we're so thankful for that. How about these cards, though, Keith, that I'm about to share with you, and we'll try to verbally illustrate them for our audience. This is from Bob in Franklin, Tennessee, and Bob is another one of our quarterly donors, and he sent in this beautiful Christmas card. It's called Confederate Heroes, and it has the portraits of President Davis, General Lee and Jackson, and Bob never forgets us, and we never forget you, Bob, and we hope you and your wife are doing well, and that's just a beautiful, beautiful Christmas card.
And D.C., right, we'll never forget the lost cause, as they call it.
Well, how about this one? This comes from a...
Not on this show.
A listener in Seminole, Florida. This is a beautiful card. I've never seen this particular piece of artwork. It's called Christmas Moon by the artist John Paul Strain, and it has Stonewall Jackson walking down Cobblestone Street, escorting a lady under the Christmas moon. And this comes from another one of our generous supporters in Seminole, Florida. What a beautiful piece of artwork there.
Looks like it could be in the French Quarter in New Orleans, although I know he never went there, as far as I can recollect.
Here is one from Hyde Park, New York. Again, TPC listeners around the country and certainly around the world as well. This just goes to show the level of sacrifice that our audience puts forth.
It also shows the level of penetration into Radio Free America that we have made and in the world.
Well, we've got listeners in all 50 states and in most every continent. Yeah, and this is from a listener in New York, but I think this just goes to show the loyalty.
Possible exception of Antarctica.
That we've been blessed to be able to grow. And, of course, folks, you know, we return it to you tenfold. We would go all out for you. I'll tell you this, and you know it, we'll never betray you. We'll never stop fighting for you. But this comes from a listener in Hyde Park. What a beautiful Christmas sentiment here. And he writes this. Hi, James. First, I'd like to say that I think TPC is an excellent program, and I want to thank you for a copy of your book that you recently sent. Very insightful, really good, really well written. Well, thank you for that. And, you know, we wrote that book... I guess that's the royal we, 11 years ago, and it's still thankful that people still want it. And he made a contribution, Keith, and he included this note. I wish I could give more, but I recently lost my job because I refused to take the clot shot. So we're on one income for now. My wife, daughter, and I are hoping to move back your way next year, South Carolina or Florida. We have to get out of communist New York and get a place with more like-minded people like you and your guests. So this is a guy who made a contribution even though he had just lost a job. That's, look, we need to be the ones helping him out.
We need to put him in touch with Michael Hill. He sounds like a real hot prospect for a recruit in the League of the South, because Michael Hill was right. Secession is becoming more and more apparently the wave of the future in America.
A listener, Stephen in Arkansas. Let's find out. We won't say the exact city because that could be identifying. But he commented on the card we sent. He always sends in support. How about this? You know, talking about cards, this is from a family of TPC listeners in Somerville, Georgia. And you see the husband, the wife, and their three beautiful children. This is a photo card we're holding in our hands from listeners in Somerville, Georgia. And we know it is because we have conferences and we see the kinds of families that tune in. I am thankful, so thankful that our work attracts people like that. What do you see, Keith?
Well, I see a beautiful family with three children. You know, what do they say? I had three, James had three. We're in a bidding war. We want you to have four and five nowadays. We need to do it to make up for World Wars I and II.
Here's from a... another listener, I don't know exactly where this one is from, but it reads, thank you for your radio show and efforts to preserve our way of life. And he signs his name and then includes the scripture, Amos chapter 5, verse 15, which reads, hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate.
Well, what we need to do is good be advice. Horatio at the gate or Horatio at the bridge. That's what we intend to be. That's what we strive to be. And that's what we urge all of you to be. We're going to have to stand up for righteousness, truth, justice, and the old-fashioned American way. This is what we need to do, and this is what we stand for at the political cesspool.
Here's Bill in Kentucky writing, greetings to you and the political cesspool team and to your family. You have no idea how much I appreciate you. Merry Christmas. That's from Bill in Kentucky. And Bill, that's right back at you and everybody else who's tuned in tonight. To take an hour to read the mail, very unusual, but right before Christmas, I thought it was fitting. And listen, folks, we are in this together. We are in this together, and we really do mean it when we say we love you. And we're not going to let you down. We'll never betray you. Here is a listener in Woodruff, South Carolina. Dear Mr. Edwards, encloses a check. Look forward to receiving the Hutton Gibson DVD interview. Yes, 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 everybody. Those will be coming out to you. We'll probably start sending those out.
One of a kind, one of the things that we do that no one else does is this. And, you know, for example, the Drew Lackey interview, the USS Liberty interviews that we did, and now Hutton Gibson. This is stuff that you're not going to get anywhere else but at the political cesspool.
Well, you know, of course, the DVD wasn't our work, but we have interviewed Hutton on this program. Thank you for the work you do, but we do have connections with people who can make that possible, and that's another thing.
We're the only way you're going to get that connection. See, this is what
that's
you
right.
need to
that's
do.
That's true. Thank you for the work you do in trying to wake our people up, and I hope you and your family have a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we don't want to take too much credit. There are a lot of other people that contributed to things like the USS Liberty, like Eddie Miller, for example, formerly of our show.
Sure, sure.
But there is just so much that we do that you'll never see on MSNBC, ABC, Fox News, True News, Newsmax. None of those places dive as deeply as we do.
A nice Christmas card from Carol in Sebring, Florida. Also from Kevin up in Illinois.
Yes, a great card.
How about this one from one of the people we met at one of our remote broadcasts in South Carolina? This is Steve in South Carolina. Greetings to James and Keith and to Danny, who does the mailings. Keep on keeping on, informing us with useful news and history lessons that are not heard on other radio shows. Well, that's right. You know, and God bless you, Steve, for giving my wife a shout-out. So there she is, stuffing all of the mailers and sealing them and putting stamps on them and working well into the night, many, many consecutive days every time we do one of these mail-outs. And she's been doing it. Of course, I met her at church when she was 15 years old, as I said.
Was that
the first
song by the Box Tops? I met her at church.
I thought
look that
was,
up on YouTube.
You're not thinking of the letter, are you?
No, no.
Here's one from listener and his wife in Hot Springs, South Dakota. You thought I was going to say Arkansas. I know you did, Keith.
Well, I'm glad something's hot in South Dakota. Not too much is at this time of year.
Here's one from my very own lifelong pastor who certainly paid the price when the Southern Baptist Convention expelled the entire church because he wouldn't expel me as a member.
You talk about Horatio at the bridge. Here is a guy that basically put his whole livelihood on the line for truth and righteousness, and God bless him.
Got one from Nathan in Vermont, who's come down to some of our conferences. He's the one who actually sent me the clip earlier this year of Rush Limbaugh denouncing me right before he died, comparing me to Bull Connor. Hey, if you're going to compare me to somebody, I could do a lot worse than Bull Connor. Bull Connor was all right by me.
Just don't compare him to Morris Dees.
That's right. But he sent me some authentic Vermont maple syrup, Keith, and if you're a good boy the rest of the show, I might share some with you. You can put some on your flapjacks tomorrow.
Yeah, well, what you'll have to do is invite me over for flapjacks, too. You can come to my church tomorrow morning, by the way. We're having a breakfast there if you want to
come. Bring the
syrup.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The CDC just reported that 7,218 people died after receiving a COVID-19 shot. Granted, vaccines are a complicated concoction of chemicals, and as with any medical experiment, it can take a long time to get it right. This is not the first time people have been hurt when vaccinated. What is different this time, and so concerning, is the reaction to these death numbers. Let me explain. In 1976, the government vaccinated 45 million people for swine flu. A total of 53 people died after getting that shot, and the U.S. government immediately halted the vaccination program. Why? Because authorities decided it was too much of a risk. Why would they halt the program back then for 53 deaths, but now, with over 7,000 deaths, they are using every method possible to force it on you? In fact, now the health authorities are using their power to silence anyone who dares to question the COVID vaccination. Why? Why is anyone that questions COVID silenced? Even doctors are being censored. What's up with that?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay.
shall sing.
What a beautiful song and what a beautiful message as we prepare our hearts. Now, you know, Keith, we've had the last 3 weeks, we've had a lot of fun listening to some of the feel-good, festive, seasonal Christmas music. I dare not call it secular because that seems to have a sort of a negative connotation. It is good music, but it is not these Christ-centered Christmas carols that we're playing tonight and that we'll be playing next week, when we
welcome
back. The
old traditional carols, and particularly the religious traditional carols, are just splendid monuments to the majesty of white civilization, European civilization, and we need to celebrate those just like we celebrate the birth of Christ every Christmas. This is the culture that we need to pass on to our children. And talking about that, I went to the Nutcracker Ballet last night in a beautiful setting, the Orpheum Theater, which is ornate and looks like some European opera house. Let me tell you, you should have seen all the little girls that were just thrilled by that. Every little girl that I saw there left that performance wanting to be a ballerina, wanting to celebrate, you know, the Russian origins of Tchaikovsky. You know, the thing about Russia has a cultural heritage second to none in the world, and trying to treat them the way that the American government does now as a bunch of outsiders and, you know, no goodniks and whatnot is a slap in the face of Tchaikovsky, Dostoevsky, Borodin. They're just so much, Turgenev, so many Russian fine arts people, Rachmaninoff, people like that. It's incredible. And, you know, my hat's off, and I love to see the Nutcracker. You need to take your sons and daughters to see a Nutcracker performance by a ballet troupe with a real orchestra if you have the opportunity every Christmas.
You got to get out with your family and do these activities that you can only do at Christmas time. And we've been doing a lot of that the last few weeks with my wife and children. And again, we were doing it today, all day. We did it all day, barely made it to the studio on time tonight. I had to cancel supper
with
Keith.
Came in on two wheels, as you used to say.
Keith and I were going to go out to our customary pre-show supper, but we ended up having to drive through a fast food joint instead because it was out getting into the spirit of the season.
But on the other hand, we had a lot of good FaceTime in the car getting prepped for the show tonight. And that's when we decided, you know what? We're going to turn a negative into a positive. Even though we had a cancellation, we're going to have a more family-friendly and personal show tonight than we normally have. And I think this is exactly the right time for it, before Christmas.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen in the listening audience, I mean, obviously, this isn't part of our normal format, but if you're enjoying it, you can send me an email. If you never want us to do it again, we'll probably do it again next Christmas, let me know that, too. And this comes from a listener in Flowery Branch, Georgia. That's hard to say. Flowery Branch, Georgia. James and Keith, thanks for all you do each and every day. Can't afford to send big donations, but will continue to send small ones from time to time. God bless you and your families. And that's, listen, we've lasted nearly two decades on the air with donations of $20 and $10 and $5. $100 are really big ones. And
George Soros does not contribute to the political cesspool.
Nor does any corporate sponsors or any sponsors at all, except for Dixie Republic.
For individuals that our message resonates with.
Well, and listening live right now is a good friend of mine, young lady in East Tennessee, who writes, it's nice of you to read the letters. People like that. It's a sacrifice to send money. Most of our people don't have much to give, and these are people who never get recognized. But everyone can't be a spokesperson, but everyone can give to those who are. And that's the thing, is giving. I am so glad you wrote what you wrote, because you put a finer point on it than I've been able to. I've been stabbing at it. This is it. To give the people who make this show possible the recognition on this, our last show before Christmas, I think it was a good time to do it. We're recognizing you tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
And
that's
we
what
recognize
we're
you ourselves. Believe me, you do not go unappreciated. And I know the staff of the political cesspool.
We're going to get more mail between now and the end of the year, obviously between now and Christmas. And we just physically can't read it all in the time constraints that we have, but I hope that this has been a good representative sampling. We're not trying to pick some over the others. I mean, we really are just picking these at random, although I did pick this one specifically because this is just an amazing letter from a listener. Georgia has been well represented tonight. The listener from Bogart, Georgia. Dear James and Keith, as a regular listener of TPC, Saturday nights are a highlight of each week. I wanted to send you both a token of my appreciation in the form of some homemade goodies to share with your families. In fact, I was listening to Henry, that's my 7-year-old son, tell his very funny joke as I was stirring the simmering pot of apple butter. I wish you both a Christmas filled with joy and hope as you celebrate the miracle of the birth of our Lord. Much love and respect to you and to the TPC family of listeners. We won't read this lady's first name, but she is from Bogart, Georgia. And how about that, Keith Alexander?
Well, Christ is the reason for the season, and we are founded in that, and so are our listeners. God bless them all, everyone.
Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, we will have for you at the top of the next hour, our third and final hour, a surprise guest that we have been able to nab on the fly here. And we're very thankful for this guest for being amenable to coming on such short notice and, in fact, make a debut appearance. And this is a guy, and we've been teasing this, but a guy whose activism goes back to the days of Wallace, and he's still very active and very effective. And so I think
you
I told
give
him,
a historical perspective that is missing from most of the commentary you receive from white advocates in today.
His son recently made his debut appearance on the show just back in November, just last month. And so now the father will be making his debut appearance, both very effective advocates for our people. And I told him, you know, this is a guy who deserves a full hour, I mean, at least. But I said with the tonight being sort of a program in a state of upheaval, we will just do two segments because Jack's going to close the show. Jack's got something prepared for you, our regular contributor. But we are going to do two segments. It's going to be the past and the future of activism. We're going to look back on his life going back many decades, what worked, what didn't work, how we can sharpen ourselves and better ourselves for the struggle to come. A little two-segment with a lifer, two segments on the past and the future of advocacy for our people and for our culture and for our nations. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that and for all of you who tuned in because we had been, of course, promoting it on our website and at Twitter and all of those places, the Trey Garrison interview. We will get Trey. We may even have Trey for Christmas. We'll see what his schedule looks like if we can get him booked for next week. But I can tell you for sure what we're going to do next week is, and I've mentioned it before already, we're going to have a year in review. We're going to look back on all the things that took place this year on this program and outside of the studio as well. TPC's annual year in review show. We do it every year, the last show of the year. And then in the third hour, our last hour of the 2021 broadcasting schedule, Pastor Brett McAtee will share with you the biblical accounting of the Christmas story. That's coming up next week. And then, as I said, Keith, our 2022 broadcasting year begins on January 1st. You can't really start it any sooner than that, can you? And so we'll be live with you on New Year's Day night as well, if that's a thing, New Year's Day night. We'll kick off the 2022 year, which we hope will be our best yet, even eclipse what we've done this year.
You know, sometimes we feel like we're the monks in a cliffside monastery in Ireland or Scotland back in the Dark Ages, laboriously handwriting out copies of the Bible and the epistles and things like this, trying to keep the flame alive. Well, our next guest falls into that same category, somebody that can tell you how the right went wrong, as, you know, to steal a line from Pat Buchanan. He can tell us what happened in the past as opposed to what you have been told happened and what so many people think happened. Charlottesville, for example, happened because a lot of people in our movement thought that the civil rights movement happened just as the left had portrayed it, not as some type of cooked up, jumped up production by the left, and they paid the price for that. So we're going back to the future. We're finding now exactly what happened in the civil rights movement. I can't wait to talk with this person, and we're looking forward to that. hang in here.
Well, that's
with
something
us.
We're going to talk about next week too in the year in review show. Is that we have had more first-time guests appear on this show than in any year over the course of the past decade. I mean, we certainly have program mainstays.
Old, new that, guests, new old guests.
Well, we have a lot of guests that we love, and we keep them in a regular rotation because they have
new
peer.
Guests.
They have no peer. But there are a lot of people out there who are, you know, certainly.
There are all sorts of people that have information that is vital to our cause, and we're going to dig them up and find them for you and present them here. We don't wait for people to knock on our door. We go out and seek them, and that's what the next guest is going to be. And I think you're going to be very pleased with his contributions.
5 seconds. What'd you think about the mail?
Oh, I love the mail. I love our audience. I love our contributors. I love the people that we represent. And I'm glad and gratified to find that they love us, too.
A lot more of the mail, too. Couldn't read it all, but we do take it all to heart. And we read it with each other. And we always give you what I hope will be a thoughtful response, even if it's something that we write back to you and not answer live on the air. We'll be back with the third hour right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Bye-bye.